My co-hosts this morning are George Stothard and Keith Littlewood, regulars to the show. And Keith is here. He visits us about once a month, every 6 weeks or so. And he's a functional medicine practitioner. That's what he is. I was going to say you're an optimal medicine practitioner, but it all links in, doesn't it? You're based at Optimal Fitness and really helping people reach their optimal peak of energy and health, and following a holistic approach where really treating people from the inside out. If you've got any questions for Keith this morning, his areas of expertise are really looking at the health of the gut, digestion, also at posture as well. So if you are suffering from pain or inflammation in any areas, it can be interlinked, and Keith's your man. So we've got heaps of text to get through. I'm going to get to them in a second, I promise. But we started off talking about the heart and what is connected to the heart with regards to disease, what leads to that heart disease. And basically what's coming through is it's all about inflammation in the body. And here's a visualization for you, if you like, coming from the Dr. Lundell, who he's a surgeon, heart surgeon, working in the industry for 25 years, who has come to the conclusion that we've been misguided with the idea of following a low-fat diet to reduce weight and to help with the health of our heart. Now, he says, visualize this. Take a moment to visualize rubbing a stiff brush repeatedly over soft skin until it becomes quite red and nearly bleeding. You kept this up several times a day, every day, for 5 years. If you could tolerate this painful brushing, you would have a bleeding, swollen, infected area that became worse with each repeated injury. This is a good way to visualize the inflammatory process that could be going on in your body right now.
Yes, absolutely. And it could be sustained over many, many years without us knowing about it. If we think about the environmental toxin issues and heavy metals, these are often things that we're just not aware of at all. And we could be breathing them in, they come in the water, they can come in the food, they can come in the forms of medication as well. And we can do a lot to support it. I mean, it's not all doom and gloom today. Somebody said earlier on they're feeling quite depressed. There is a lot that people can do. Get on board nutrients such as zinc, selenium, curcumin, quercetin, you know, vitamin E. Vitamin C is a very powerful antioxidant and supports the adrenals as well. So getting good sources of this, and you can get them seafood, for example, oysters. That you can get oysters relatively cheap here, a great source of zinc. Good quality fresh juiced oranges provide high levels of vitamin C. And it's not necessarily about eating the same things that might cause inflammation. We think about people eating cereal every day. Well, a lot of people think that's healthy, but from a gut perspective it's not, because it can degrade tissue, cause inflammation. So if you can remove a lot of the foods that are causing inflammation, it goes to helping the unseen inflammation that we're exposed to from the soot in the air and whatnot.
Let's go to the text messages.
Yeah, some great messages coming in. One here regarding what I think is probably anxiety. We've got a listener who's 30 years old who says that during fear, tension and emotions, her heartbeat increases. And just wondering if there's anything in the diet or the gut or anything hormonal you think might be going on here.
Yeah, there's obviously an emotional aspect to this, which I'm certainly not skilled at answering, but there can be hormonal issues related to thyroid. We know that people who have thyroid issues can have anxiety. We know that people who produce too much cortisol from an adrenal perspective also can have high levels of anxiety. It can be managed with some supplements. It's not, again, it's like anything that we're talking about. It's usually a multifactorial approach. And one of my peers in the States used the term of surrounding the dragon. What can we do that can influence the problem that we might not be able to work on initially? It's a bit like working on an injury. What can we do to support the healing of that injury and support the other tissues that would prevent it from breaking down further? And, you know, from an emotional perspective, for example, what I always ask the person, what do you do to have fun? What gets you smiling? And that's a big part of dealing with these issues. From a chemical and hormonal perspective, you can assess the adrenals, you can assess the thyroid, you can just do a simple questionnaire and fill in lots of questions to actually be suggestive of if these are areas that need to be analysed. So yeah, there can be lots that can be analysed and give someone a little bit of a kind of a route map to go towards to help dealing with this.
Sure. I've been told I have Helicobacter pylori in my gut. Can you tell me more about this and how it can affect me?
Ah, what an exciting subject. Helicobacter pylori is a helix-shaped bacteria that often delves into the mucosal barrier of the gut. Now, there's varying schools of thought on the H. pylori now, but generally what we've always thought it did is it lowers stomach acid. But one of the therapies that people were always put on was that because it lowers the stomach acid, people were often getting acid reflux still, and were often put on proton pump inhibitors, which helps to lower acid even further. Now, the stomach is a sanitizer. We talk about these high levels of hydrochloric acid, not only to digest food, but also to prevent any other unwanted microbes coming in. So often with a H. pylori infection, we might see secondary infections further on down the bowel. So I've seen H. pylori eradicated with a couple of different supplements, natural supplements that can be gotten rid of. There is a quadruple and what used to be the triple antibiotic therapy, which was antibiotics with these proton pump inhibitors. But we know that proton pump inhibitors are quite detrimental to the long-term health of the gut integrity. But it's very easy to get rid of H. pylori. Good diet plan, few supplements, and it's generally gone.
Now, I mentioned earlier about bladder infections. For those that are suffering with recurrent bladder infections, so it comes, you get it cleared up, and then just a few weeks later, it's back again. Yep. Why is that?
Well, I always look at bladder infections as, again, we look at the more global implications of the urinary and the digestive tracts and getting rid of certain microbes and other waste and toxins. Now, when there's a bacterial overgrowth in the small intestine, this can migrate to the urinary tract as well. So I've seen certain types of bacteria, one's called Klebsiella oxytoca, with prostate issues. I've seen other bacteria. You can do a very simple urine test that will not only show you how you're metabolizing your foods, what levels of nutrient deficiencies, how well your liver's functioning if you're exposed, but it also does a urinary assessment of bacteria within the urinary tract. And sometimes you can see certain bacteria that have overgrown. Like we talk about probiotics, for example. A lot of people take probiotics thinking these are really, really good. But when you have high levels of a certain probiotic, it causes something called D-lactic acidosis, which produces all these toxins which go into the bowel. And if you're not going to the toilet properly, they get reabsorbed through the colon back up to the liver. And so we get a whole host of problems that are kind of derived from gastrointestinal issues. And if there was a constant urinary tract infection, I would always look at the gut and do a stool test, and also a urine test just to back that up as well.
Usually people advise sort of drink cranberry juice. That's always been recommended as a good thing. And so that, you know, you do that and maybe it helps. And maybe you take some antibiotics. And you, again, as an example of what you think, you just want to take away that pain, and, you know, it can be really debilitating, that kind of infection. But then what's the antibiotics doing to you? It can help you with that infection, but does that mean it increases your chances of getting another infection?
Antibiotics can be useful, first of all, to start in various different complaints. But when people are exposed to chronic antibiotic use, your gut mucosa is decimated. And there have been a few studies that have shown that when you take antibiotics, you totally eradicate some strains of bacteria. So you change your internal terrain, often for the worst. And this is why you see a lot of people will have very negative symptoms associated with antibiotics, like diarrhea, gut cramps, bleeding in the stools, you know, lots of different things like this. So I would never always recommend people go and see medical practitioners straight away for antibiotics, but I would look to support the digestive terrain, find out what's in there, can you eradicate it with natural supplements? If not, there may be a need for a higher impact, like an antibiotic or something like that.
Yeah, you've talked a bit about supplements. One of the ones that people talk about all the time is garlic. One of our listeners has sent a message in asking, do garlic supplements provide relief from the overgrowth of stomach yeast?
For some people, yes, they will. It does have an antibacterial infection, antifungal function, but for some people they can be resistant to that. And one of the DNA tests that I use as part of my practice is to analyse whether they're resistant to garlic. Because if the microbes are resistant to garlic, it doesn't have any effect at all. Mm. But as part of a broad spectrum with other supplements to help lower those infections, yeah, it can be useful. But in some people, it might not work at all.
And you know, and also rather than taking it as a supplement, but in, you know, bringing garlic into your diet and as part of your nutrient intake, it's a good one, isn't it? Garlic
can be really naturally. Yeah, and it's got a good cardioprotective effect as well. So that there are lots of foods like that we want to see in people's diet.
Here, my son is 21 and for 2 years has had burping, in a very bad burping, acid, etc. He had an endoscopy, but it showed nothing. He's been taking tablets and is okay, but when he does not take them, he vomits. Please advise.
Well, again, it could be a number of different things. It could be a sensitivity to food. Gluten can do this. Other food sensitivities can do this. Other bacterial agents can do this.
Is it quite extreme to be going and having an endoscopy if you are showing those kind of symptoms of, say, acid reflux, burping, that kind of thing?
If no other means have been looked at first, yeah, I certainly think there are other more less invasive methods which are less stressful. For example, a stool test a DNA stool test can actually analyse to see what's coming through the digestive system as well. You could also just do some exclusion food tests to see if they're going to have an impact on what this young person's feeling.
Mm. The fact that he's vomiting after taking, if he does not take them, he vomits.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about loss of hydrochloric acid, which can have a significant impact on body chemistries, blood chemistries. But when we're not producing enough stomach acid, in particular, we're not actually breaking down certain nutrients, but we're also not producing something called intrinsic factor, which is produced from the same cells of the gut, which helps B12 to bind to intrinsic factor, and we get our B12 supplementation basically from food. And a lot of people we see, like, we think iron deficiency is, you know, not having enough iron, but it's usually because we're not digesting our food properly, but also not taking on B12, which helps to facilitate the iron uptake in the first place.
When we come back, we're going to take a look at colitis.